Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
So a little turn of events this morning. Actually, last night, probably about, I don't know, it was maybe 6:30. Got a text from Brian Finnemore. He's up in Denver, and, you know, he normally comes on this weekend. And he had a rough go on Thursday. I guess they got stuck in a bunch of Denver traffic in a snowstorm. And, you know, I won't tease him for being a flatlander or anything because he's from Missouri. But it freaked him out, you know, to the point where he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we're not going to make it up tomorrow morning, which bummed me out. I told him there was going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then I asked him where he got such information. And he said, the internet. And I told him, and I'll tell you, do not believe everything that you read on the internet. Anyway, so that being said, I'm happy to share just a thought or two. And I wanted to just let us enter into a time of just remembering, a time of reflection, maybe a challenge or two. We'll come at you, that's going to be all God. I'm personally not challenging you one bit. I just want you to know that there are things that God has for us that might simultaneously disrupt us and comfort us. You know what I mean? Like, he's about that. He's the comforter. I mean, he loves to show up in a worship gathering and hold your hearts. He loves to stand between you and the afflictions. He loves that. That's his primary, like, heart for you, is to be an expression, the expression of love. And yet, because he loves us so much, he's not going to let us stay where we're at. He's going to be willing to, like, put his finger on something. And, you know, anyway, that's his business, not mine. But I am in a space where, obviously, like, during worship, where I'm feeling a little tenderized, and that's a good place to be in, to be honest. And I'm also feeling some passion about just the goodness of God. And so I want to share a couple of thoughts about that. I was thinking about my neighbors. I've had two neighbors move in, actually three this year. The Hendersons moved, and they were right across the street. They're down in Florida. And if you think about them, send them a picture of the snow in your backyard. And so new neighbors moved in there, but I haven't really met them yet. And I'm anticipating, like, meeting them, because they've got a second house that they're trying to finish up before they actually move into this house across the street. So I see them on occasion. And I anticipate, like, there's, like, the neighbors in my cul-de-sac, they all talk, right? It's a neighborhood, and everybody's really friendly. And so when someone new shows up, there's certain ways that people get introduced. Oh, that neighbor over there? So he works for Volkswagen, and he travels all over the world, and he's got this amazing car that he retro, you know, modded out with a Volkswagen bug body, but a Porsche. Like, everything underneath it is a Porsche. And I'm like, yeah. And then they're like, and that guy over there pointing at my house, he's a preacher. That's how I get introduced in my neighborhood. I hear you're a preacher. I've been known to do that. And it's always a really important conversation initially, because when we meet someone who is a person of faith, depending on what our history has been in the church, if we even have a history in the church, we have a certain filter, you know, and so we perceive someone to be a certain way based on that history and that filter. And I'm not out to, you know, like, ruin their perception of me, but I do want them to know me if I'm going to get to know them. And one of the things that they're going to learn, and I want to just convey to you, and I don't know why I feel compelled to do this, but I just feel compelled to say, look, while I might be a pastor of a local fellowship for now almost 20, well, we're on our 24th year here, that I am not a religious Christian. And it kind of like throws them back, like, what do you mean by that? They don't even know what that means half the time. They're like, what does that mean? Don't you go to church? Well, yeah, I go to church. I'm there a lot, actually. I'm actually at church quite a bit. Don't you read your Bible? Well, yeah, I love the Bible. Like, it speaks to me a lot. Don't you pray? You know, these kind of like, kind of tweaks them a little bit. When you talk about religion and Christianity in the same breath, as though it's one and the same, that's almost as bad as saying, you know, you're a Christian and a Republican. Oh, did I just say that? You know, it's like, no, you're not actually that. No, it's like the thing about Christianity is that it's a relationship with Jesus, period. And there's no box that you have to fit into, that you have a certain, you know, like definition of theology and how you practice that theology and how you apply that theology and how you behave in the context of that theology. I mean, that box right there is just that. It's a box. And we like to feel comfortable in these spaces because they're pretty well defined. And I think the reason why we have created these boxes is because we're afraid of people who aren't in the box. I'll put that in quotes. We need a sense of security with the people that we're in community with. And I think this really came on board even stronger when mobility became like part of the way. Like, one of the things that I personally believe marks Americans probably more than we realize is our ability to move. And so we show up at a place and people don't know you from Adam, you know? And so if you come in and you spend a little bit of time in their box, and that doesn't have to be just a religious box. That can be a political box. That can be, you know, a wide variety of things that can help define who's in and who's out. And so religion is probably one of the quickest and easiest ways for us to not only find community, but also assess who's safe within the community. Because if the people are in the box, then they must be safe because they believe the way that I believe. They practice the way that I practice my faith. They're on mission the way that I think that mission should be. And they behave themselves. They're not going to rip me off. Okay, this is the biggest gripe, right? It's like, man, I hired that guy and he said he was a Christian. And then, you know, he like rips him off or whatever. Hey, don't ever do that, by the way. If you're going to rip people off, don't announce that you're a Christian. Just say, hey, I'm a thief. You should hire me so I can take your money. All right. So that's ludicrous. But we kind of like, you know, so we'll even pronounce ourselves a certain way in order to kind of sell ourselves as safe. But you know, some of the harshest criticism that Jesus gave were to religious leaders who were the guardians of the box, who were not safe. In fact, they were so unsafe that they crucified Jesus. I'm not a religious Christian. I am a spiritual Christian. Because if I were to think about Jesus, I have all these ideas because I can read the book. And I can imagine, just like a screenplay running through my head, what it must have been like. Or I can get the latest in the series called The Chosen, which is amazing, by the way. It's a depiction of Jesus. Well, it's actually probably more a depiction, at least in the first season, a depiction of like Nicodemus and Matthew and Peter and, you know, like these people that were real people that connected with Jesus initially. And so I can't wait for season two. So I have imagination about Jesus. Like, I can actually fall in love with what I perceive Jesus was like. Like, I can look to Jesus as a historical figure and I could say the spirit of that man can live today. Like, if I'm not careful, I can simply relegate my ideas and understanding to concepts about Jesus, and I could aspire to be like him. like in my own human effort and strength. Like I can be just a good human being. And I love that. Like more of that, please. More kindness, more goodness, more people behaving, period. And yet we fall short, don't we? It's like, that's on a good day. So when the pressures hit and life throws the curveballs at us or a tsunami hits us, then it's kind of like reverting to survival of the fittest. And this is where being a spiritual Christian is, it's different than being a conceptual Christian. Like I'm not a religious Christian. I don't want to be just a conceptual Christian. Like I have concepts or ideals that I aspire to or want to live according to. I want to be a spiritual Christian. And the difference is this, that Jesus and everything that enabled Jesus to be who he is and be who he was on the earth historically is still very much alive today in the presence of his Spirit. The essence of who made Jesus who he was in the text exists now in this space, in your lives, in your homes, in your places of business. There is nowhere that God's presence cannot connect with you on planet Earth. You can't go anywhere without having a personal connection and a relationship with the Spirit of Christ. You have that access. And this is where, for me, it's like, yeah, that's what I'm about. Now, by now, my neighbor who I just met is maybe going, my gosh, the burgers are burning on the grill. Or maybe he invites me in for a longer conversation. I don't know. But this is where for us as a people and for you, maybe you're hearing this. Maybe it's a real encouragement and a real inspiration to be like, look, I know a lot about Jesus. I've even lived in this box of religion, but it's left me wanting. Like I have needs that are not being met. And so these needs I just want to speak to for a moment, they're legitimate. They're actually created by God, placed in you. And I've said this before, they're like a honing device that's trying to orient you towards the legitimate answer to the legitimate longing. The challenge we have is we don't have a lot of people, you know, present company excluded, of course, because I'm sure some of you are like, Jesus really is the answer to those legitimate longings. Now, there's something challenging with that, and I'll have to admit it. If we stay in the concept world, then that makes sense. But when it comes down to day in and day out, like how does Jesus actually meet my needs? Like if I'm lonely, like if I feel insignificant, there's a long list of actual needs, you know? Like if I don't feel like I belong, how does it translate that Jesus is going to meet those legitimate needs? And I would say it's through a personal relationship with the Spirit of Christ. And we've been talking about this for some months now here as a fellowship. And I just want to present it to you that the presence of the Holy Spirit, that's what the scripture refers to, the essence of what made Jesus great. The Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit, one and the same. We don't have to get off in the language of maybe one of those boxes that only refers to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. And we have to change the way that we talk in order to really make the point. No, the Holy Spirit is the presence of God on the earth that connects us with the source of our legitimate longings. Period. And so for me to be a spiritual Christian is to say, yes, I have given my life to Christ in a way where I not only want to understand the theology and the practice and the mission, and I not only want to have this influence and transform the way that I behave, and I not only want to know about Jesus, you know, as though he was something to aspire to, I want to know him spiritually, union with the Spirit of Christ. Holy Spirit, come. Speak to me. Connect me with the source that's going to answer my deepest longings. I wanted to offer that, and I wanted to offer it in a way that is supported by this really powerful scripture where John the Baptizer, who is Jesus' cousin, he's like a wild man in the wilderness, you know? He's got full-on dreads. Probably what you would, if you were to go to India right now and you were to meet a guru, you would meet people that had dreads down to the floor. Easy. Their hair has never been cut. They would not do that. It's a vow that was, you know, not only that they made, but was kind of made for them, maybe by their parents even. But John was one of those guys. He was known as a Nazarite in the sense that he never let a razor touch his hair. He never touched the fruit of the vine, so no alcohol, not even grapes. In fact, he ate wild things, you know, like he was grubbing, for real. Like he would put Bear Grylls to the test. Like this guy was a survivor. And I imagine that even though he looked, you know, like a straight up homeless dude wearing camel clothes, like clothes made out of camel fur, there was probably a clarity in his eyes. Because the scriptures talk about him in a way where it says, of those born of men, there was none greater than John the Baptist. So the scriptures affirm this man, even though he was a wild-eyed zealot, and there was something about him that drew a crowd. And one of the things that he did was not only baptize people for the repentance of their sins, but he spoke about this transformation of a union with the Christ that was going to be spiritual and not religious. And it goes on, I want to read this. This is out of Matthew 13. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were coming out to him. Okay, catch the gravity of that. Like, Jerusalem, all Judea, all the region around the Jordan were coming out to him. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. So this was a powerful, like, forerunner. Like, he would be known as a forerunner. He was going ahead of Jesus. And he was a friend of the bridegroom, where he would say, there's one coming. He's the bridegroom. And you can be his bride. Like, you can have union with him in a way that's deeply personal and intimate and answers the deepest longings of your heart. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, so it was not only Jesus who saw the veneer around the religious, it was also John. And he says this, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. In other words, change is coming, boys. And every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. He says, I baptize with water, the water of repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, speaking of Jesus, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. So there's a humility and an honor that he's recognizing the supremacy of Christ. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And I just want to end it with that reading, because I want to just capture this idea that Jesus wants to utterly overwhelm us with his presence. There's one who's coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And this is where, if we're not careful, we'll start to think, oh, we're slipping into a box here. No. This is where spiritual Christianity comes from. Union with the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit coming upon us. This is what makes us spiritual Christians. Not religious Christians, not conceptual Christians, but Christians who have connected with some part of their life that has been dormant until they say yes to Jesus. And then there's this renewal that happens where this dormant spirit connects with the Spirit of Christ and the two become one. Just like in the language of marriage. And something is born afresh and new. Well, you are. And so this is the life that I want to just highlight, put the spotlight on this morning, and just say that I love being with you as a community because of all the communities that I know. This community is chock full of spiritual Christians. And we're repenting of religion. And we're working to take concepts and let them become realized as we metabolize them into the everyday of our life. And so with that, I just want to pray. And I just want to ask for the Holy Spirit to overwhelm you. Jesus, thank you for the ways that you meet us. Thank you for just empowering our time this morning, not only with the ability to focus our affections and our attention on you, Jesus, but also to take just that pure and simple gospel that Jesus came to bring rescue. And the way that you rescue us is you take us from our old nature and you bring us into a new nature, which is united with the Spirit of God. And so I thank you, God, that if anyone is in Christ, they are new creations. The old is gone and the new has come. And so we say yes to the new. We say yes to a life that is connected with you. And so I want to ask now for your Holy Spirit to fall afresh. Like, embrace hearts and encourage minds and heal bodies and strengthen us where we're weak. Give us what we need. Lord, help us. And I just think about like the illegitimate ways that we try to meet those longings, Lord. Thank you that in light of your glory, those things just fade. So come and meet our legitimate needs, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, awaken us to the reality that you're alive. Only you can do that for us. Only you can remove any sort of filter or veil or barrier between our eyes, the eyes of our heart, or the ears, our spiritual ears to hear. Lord, I just want to ask right now in your strong name, Jesus, to demolish any barrier that is standing between any single person here and the reality of your incredible love for them and your access, like the accessibility of your presence to them. And I pray, God, that you would just really meet us in this way. And we'll trust you for the outcome, because at the end of the day, you will transform us. We just keep leaning into you, keep focusing on you, keep fixing our eyes on you, Jesus. And keep responding when you give us a nudge. Give us the strength for that. And so, Lord, thank you so much for this morning and all the ways that you're ministering your goodness to us. And I pray this in your strong name, Jesus. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.